And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you to take the poll that's up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. It's a real simple yes-no question. I ask, will the California primary be important in deciding the GOP candidate for the 2012 presidential election? Go on to my site, brainstormingonline.com, cast your vote, yes, it will be important, or no, the California primary won't be important because it will already be decided by then. You'll find the poll up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. That's brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is deeper understanding. Each of my guests is giving us a deeper understanding of his or her subject. My next guest, quote-unquote, retired from business to pursue his dream of being a professional golfer. We'll determine if this is the year for you to go pro, speaking with the author of the book, Inside, Outside, and On the Ropes. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Keith Gockenbeck grew up playing golf in Robinson, Illinois, where he was the club champion at the age of 16, and he reached the Illinois State High School Finals three different times. Keith had the opportunity to caddy for Bob Golby and other pros when the PGA Tour visited town for the Robinson Open while Keith was still in high school. Golby shot a course record 62, and Keith's first caddy round as his caddy in the first round of the 1968 Masters Champion. And then, of course, Golby went on to win the 1969 Robinson Open. Although Keith himself is a scratch golfer from the age of 16, he put serious golf on the back burner for 27 years as he enjoyed a successful career in the chemical industry. Then at age 48, the itch to play competitive golf became overwhelming, so Keith, quote-unquote, retired in 2004 from a very successful career at Eastman Chemical to chase his dream of earning membership on the championship tour. Joining us from the state of Florida. Hi, Keith. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Bill.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. I just want to set the stage for listeners because you're doing something that it is absolutely incredible, and I find that these are some interesting statistics. According to the NCAA, if you played high school basketball, there is a 0.03% chance that you'll go pro. That's minuscule. If you played high school football, the probability is 0.08%. High school baseball have the quote-unquote highest chances at 0.6%. And the NCAA doesn't even keep the statistics on golfers at the high school level. So by going pro in your second life, you have overcome dramatic odds. You know, to be successful, most of us won't have to overcome the odds that you've overcome to be a professional golfer. Yet most of us also won't take the chance that you did either. So what holds people back from pursuing their dreams based on what you've observed, Keith?
Well, you know, pursuing dreams is like a lot of life. It's tough. It's hard work. I would say, you know, it takes a lot of passion, it takes a lot of patience, and it takes a lot of perseverance. Not very many people are successful in anything the first time they try it, and it's, you know, it's been a tough road for me, you know, trying to play professional competitive golf. It's a lot different than playing an amateur golf.
Well, what are the differences between pros and the top amateurs?
Well, the best pros, I guess I'd put it in two categories. One is a skill level. They have the ability to get the ball up and down from around the greens, you know, really like a magician. So they very seldom make bogeys. That's one huge difference. And the second thing I'd say is just their attitude is much more aggressive than most amateurs are. You know, the first round I caddied for Golby, as you mentioned, he shot 62. He birdied the first three holes. He parred the fourth hole at my course, which was a difficult par four, and he was upset. And I realized right then that he had a different approach to golf than I did as a teenager. He wanted to birdie every hole, and that's certainly not the approach that most amateur golfers have.
All right, so they've got this aggressive attitude, I guess, is what helps them with that competitive drive and so forth in the skill level. Did you believe personally that you could be a successful professional golfer?
You know, I had my doubts, and as it turned out, my doubts were probably stronger than my belief. But like most things, the one thing about golf that keeps people interested is that you can play well for a few hole stretch, even at, you know, at any age. And I had a lot of really good rounds that were as good as any pro could shoot. And I just thought, well, you know, probably what I need to do is just have more and more of those rounds. And that's true. It's also pretty difficult to be that consistent.
I would consider that maybe a third characteristic of the professionals versus the top amateurs, and that is the consistency. Regardless of the skill level, it's just being consistent.
Right.
Now, my guest is Keith Gockenbeck, talking about his book Inside, Outside, and On the Ropes, Life Lessons from the Q Schools and the Majors. What advice, Keith, would you have to give people about pursuing their dreams based on what you've done and what you've gone through?
Well, I think the first and the most important thing is surround yourself with positive and supportive people. And I've certainly had that in my wife and my instructor and a lot of people that I've grown close to in chasing this dream, because you know, with chasing dreams, there'll be lots of people who tell you how you can't achieve your dream, you know, what the odds are against you. You started out mentioning the odds, and the odds are enormous. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're trying to be a concert pianist or a professional golfer. The odds against success are always pretty tough. So you need to have a supportive team around you. That's probably the first thing you need to do.
Okay. Good. Are there any other advice that you would have for them as well?
I think you're going to have to like the journey toward reaching the dream. All of us, you know, have had dreams. My dream was obviously to play in the U.S. Open or the U.S. Senior Open and play in front of a bunch of people and win. But the process of getting there is a lot less glamorous than standing in front of the gallery on the 18th hole trying to make that winning putt. And if you don't love the process, then you probably shouldn't chase the dream. There are a lot of practice sessions that aren't that much fun. There's a lot of mini tour events I played in nice towns, but not glamorous towns in Arkansas and Alabama and Mississippi. So, you know, you have to like that process of getting there as much as you like the idea of being there.
My guest is Keith Gockenbeck. Now, Keith, you've written a book, and it presents 22 different lessons that you learned making that transition from Eastman Chemical to professional golfer. Obviously, we don't have time to go over all 22, but I've just picked out a couple that I'd like to drill down on and get your thoughts on them, please. Lesson number 22, which is chasing the dream is a job, not a hobby. How did you learn that, and talk to us more about what you mean by that?
Well, unfortunately, I think I learned that closer to the end of my journey than I did the beginning. But you know, I had played golf as a hobby for a long time. And so I jumped up my practice routine, and I was up to, you know, practicing golf probably 6 or 7 hours a day, which sounds like a lot of golf. But when you think about most professions, people spend, you know, 8, 9, 10 more hours a day than certainly I was spending. And I think, you know, in retrospect, I should have spent that extra 2 or 3 hours, particularly on my short game, in order to be a lot sharper and a lot more consistent with that. So it's really that you've got to treat something that may have been a hobby now a lot more like a job, and really go to the office, even if that's out on the golf course.
And now talk to me about that, because there's playing golf and there's going to the driving range and going to the putting green and all of that, which is all considered part of practice. Did you also get into some sort of physical fitness regime, lifting weights, something like that, to increase your abilities and so forth?
Yes, I did. And I had a pretty regular routine. I had a physical therapist I worked with, particularly after I had shoulder surgery early in my chase for my dream. But yes, I did that probably 5, 6 times a week. As a matter of fact, the first thing I'd try to do when I got to a small town in a mini tour was find the local fitness center. Most places will let you join for $10 a week, or even a high one might be $10 a visit. But those, you know, that kind of routine keeps you in it when you're on the road, and that's also a tough thing to do when you're traveling, is keep a good routine.
No, that certainly it is, no doubt about that. All right, so you've got to treat the job, you've got to treat your dream like a job. Another lesson that you impart in the book is play as many rounds as you can. Now, obviously, that's a reference to golf, rounds of golf, but what did you mean by that for the greater listening audience?
Well, let me put the golf lesson out there quickly. Is, again, I said on the process part, you've got to enjoy playing in those mini-tour events where really only the top couple guys are going to make more than they spent that week. You have to go out and play those rounds, because the guys you're going to compete against on the Champions Tour are playing 4 or 5 competitive rounds every week. Now, think about any other profession or any other dream you might chase. You know, if you're trying to, you know, make it as a musician, I'm sure the thing you need to do is, you know, take every gig you can, you know, even if it's down at your, you know, local Walmart in front of the Walmart, sing some songs and get out there where people can see. You'll learn a lot from those things that'll carry over. You know, if you're looking for a job, you better get out there to the job fairs, even if they don't seem to have something you want. Just practicing interviewing and practicing searching for a job is something that will get you where you want to go. Again, it's part of the process. You have to kind of knock on the doors. You have to do all the things you have to do that aren't fun in order to get to the part you're really dreaming about.
Well, it's an interesting point. I'm talking to Keith Gockenbeck. Keith, are there people that you've met that love the process more than the actual end goal? I mean, if you were out on the golfing tour, did you know anybody who enjoyed the practice rounds more than they enjoyed playing in tournaments?
I'm not sure I'd say that, but I certainly had some that enjoyed them as much, and they would figure out ways to make games out of practice, just like the tournament rounds. I'd say there were people that they weren't the ones I ran into regularly that probably thought of the actual tournament round as more work than the practice round. But for me, it was a little bit more the other way around. For me, the tournament round was pretty exciting, and even doing it for 6 years, the tournament rounds were still exciting. And the practice rounds were kind of dull and work to me.
All right. My guest is Keith Gockenbeck, author of the book Inside, Outside, and On the Ropes, Life Lessons from the Q School and from the Majors. So, Keith, give us an idea of what it was like being a professional golfer, because none of us can really imagine that. If I brought on an accountant, we'd all have a pretty good idea of what the accountant might do on a day-to-day basis. But you, as a professional golfer, you were playing 6-7 hours a day. What did your day look like on a non-tournament day?
Yeah, and again, remember that most of being a professional golfer is about playing in tournaments. So a lot of it's about travel. So every week, the tournament's in a different place. So you first got to get to the tournament. Maybe that takes you Monday, or if the tournament's on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday's probably a travel day. Tuesday's a practice round day where you go out and you chart the course. You may not have seen the course before. You need to know all the distances to the hazards and such as that. Wednesday is likely to be a pro-am day when you're paired with, three to four amateurs, and they've paid money to benefit a local charity generally to play for the opportunity to play with a professional. And all through this, you're trying to keep up your routine of staying in shape, going out and finding a place to practice. Lots of times that's pretty tough, particularly in some of the small towns. They don't have good practice areas. And so, by the time you've gotten to the tournament rounds, which may be Thursday or Friday, you've gotten to know maybe the town and where to go eat, that kind of thing. And then you're going to go play your tournament rounds, practice after the tournament round to try to fix things that might not be working so well. Go work out someplace, then go out to dinner and go to bed and get up and do it all over again. And when Sunday rolls around, you better have your bags packed because you need to be someplace else on Monday.
Cost to do something like that, Keith, is what? What are you looking at, a week, a month to do this?
So for me, the total year, which I never spent a full year doing this, would have cost about $90,000 to $100,000 to travel those 40 or 45 weeks a year.
Wow. $90,000 to $100,000 just to do that. That's incredible. My guest is Keith Gockenbeck. So, Keith, at what point do you have to be honest with yourself and really look inward about your goal and decide whether it's worth it going pro or not going pro? When did that come for you?
It was really a couple years after it should have, but I had originally set with my wife that, we'll try this for 2.5 years. It'll be through 3 qualifying schools. And I really had intended to stick with that, but the 3rd qualifying school I went to, I played really well and then got the flu right in the middle of it.
So
I was close to achieving part of my dream, at least to get a conditional card on the tour. And so, after that, I said, well, I need to stretch it out another year, give myself that other chance again. And, like a lot of folks, I still got a little addicted to it and went a couple extra years beyond that. So, in retrospect, there were a lot of signals telling me it was time to stop. And frankly, I did start working 3 months out of the year on something else just to make a little money to kind of defray some of those costs.
That makes a lot of sense. But it is an interesting glimpse into a life that many of us don't think about, that is professional golf. Keith, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Inside, Outside, and On the Ropes?
Well, I think that on one level, it should just be a fun golf book to read. If you like golf, you should enjoy reading it. You'll find some things from your own golf that you'll recognize in the book. And then on a deeper level, you know, I think people will recognize the lessons. There's some of them that are really simple. The very first one says, if you don't enter, you can't win. And that sounds simple, but it's a lot deeper than that when you get right into thinking about it. So I would hope that some of the 22 lessons will also encourage people to do something with their life and think of something in their life a little differently than they would have otherwise.
That is great. My guest has been Keith Gockenbeck. So, Keith, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I have a website, InsideTheRopesGolf.com. And there's obviously ways to buy the book there. You can read some excerpts. I have a few lessons, and my physical therapist has a few training lessons on there, too, for getting your muscles in shape.
Oh, that is great. Keith, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.